It's good to be here again this Sunday morning to share some scriptures with you, some things from the Word of God. And there's many things in the Word of God, and sometimes we don't always appreciate or understand everything. So I'm going to cover a few things today from the scriptures, and I've called it Catch the Moment. Catch the Moment. But catch the moment is different for different people in different circumstances. And there's various examples in scripture. And I'm going to start off with, if you like, the extreme examples. And then we'll just move, and then we'll look more closely at a particular area of scripture. There are times in our life where there is that moment where the Spirit of God comes to work in the heart, or that an event happens that is life-transforming, can change your destiny. Think of Elijah. When Elijah, after he had went away to Mount Sinai and had heard from the Lord, then he came back, and we know the story, he's coming back and he's walking. And he comes to the field where Elisha is. And as he passes Elisha, he takes his mantle and he just throws it over him, and he continues to walk. That moment in time, Elisha had to catch what was given him. That moment of time is not going to come back for Elisha. He had one opportunity to catch the destiny of God for his life, or he'd have missed it. And so there are times when if we miss that moment, it's never recoverable. Now, I'll give you another example, which is a completely different example. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And he's going to Jerusalem, and he's been telling his disciples, "I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified." So Jesus is on a journey, but it's a one-way journey. The places he's going through, he's not going to come back through them again. And the Bible tells us he has gone through Jericho and he has gone up to Jerusalem. And there is a man who is blind who is sitting. And he's asking, "What's all the commotion? What's happening?" He said, "Jesus is passing by." Jesus is passing by, and the Bible tells us this man started to cry out. He started to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And as the crowd would say, "Be quiet, be quiet," he would cry out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David." And the Bible says Jesus stopped and got the man to be brought to him. Now that man had a great revelation. When you go through the scriptures, there's about a dozen times you will read Jesus of Nazareth. The demons would cry out, "We know you, Jesus of Nazareth." This man had a revelation. "Jesus, you're the Son of David." He had that one opportunity came by his way, because Jesus wasn't coming back that way again. And he had to grasp that moment and catch the moment of opportunity, and he got his eyes opened. Another example we can look at is Nicodemus. John chapter 3, we read the story of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, he was a religious man. And the Bible tells us he came to Jesus. And he came to ask about who he was, ask about his message, doing a lot of inquiring. And of course, this is where we get the story when we talk about, when people talk about, what do you mean be born again? Well, it comes from the story of Nicodemus speaking to Jesus. And Jesus is saying to him, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again." And Nicodemus is scratching his head. "What are you talking about?" And Jesus said, "You are a teacher in Israel, and you don't know what I'm speaking about." And so he starts to unfold to him how we are born in the natural and the flesh. But God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, you have to be born again. Your spirit has to be born. Your spirit has to come alive so that you can worship God. Now, Nicodemus possibly would have had one or two other chances to get a private conversation with Jesus. We don't know. But he took his opportunity, he caught the moment, and it transformed him, because later on in Scripture we read that Nicodemus followed Jesus. So we have these examples of having to catch the moment. It's the same when it comes to salvation for people. People can hear the gospel, they can be convicted, but they say, well, not the moment. And they keep putting it off and putting it off. And these people can get opportunities, multitudes of opportunities, because God is so gracious. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, how some of the wicked kings of Israel, yet God extended mercy to them if they would repent. But the thing about when you keep putting it off, even when you come to Jesus in later life, you've missed a life to live for Jesus. You've missed a life to know the leading of the Spirit of God. You've missed a life to know the presence of God and to be used of God. Some people get caught in a very... We have a lady in the church who's ministered to many people just at the end of life, and they're being converted. Catch them, as we would say, at the last bus stop. But many people have never had a chance to live for Jesus. And the Bible tells us, as we serve him, you get rewards. And the Bible puts it this way, when you have gold, silver, and precious stone, it gets tried by fire. And it stays, so you get rewards. But if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's burned to dust, and you get saved, but at least you're saved. But the thing about it is, there can be multitudes of times. But then there's other times where the decision is not in your hand. When the 12 spies went in to search out the land, and remember, 10 of them came back and said, oh, we saw the giants. We saw the giants. We can't go in there. We're like grasshoppers in the sight. And then you had Joshua and Caleb said, the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. Let's get in there. But the people believed the 10 spies. And Joshua and Caleb were wanting to catch the moment, and they wanted to get into their destiny, but they were stopped getting into their destiny because of the decision of the people. One of the things you're going to find in Scripture is those in leadership of a nation or churches, whatever, those in leadership, the decisions they make have a big impact on everybody else. We've seen it the other week there when we talked about the words of Jeremiah to the king. He says, you surrender to the Babylonians, your life will be saved, your family will be saved, this city will not be destroyed. He never listened. His eyes were poked out after he'd seen his children being killed. The city all burned, left a ruin. People who make decisions have a big impact upon us. And so we can be in this place where we want to catch the moment and move into the destiny of God, and we get curtailed because those around us have made decisions which have made it impossible. But the thing about Joshua and Caleb, they held on to the dream. They held on to the promises that God had for them. They might have had to walk an extra 40 years through the wilderness, but they held on to the words of God. Remember Caleb, he said, I was promised that hill. I was promised that. I want to get it now. So after 40 years in the wilderness, he still hung on. And God brought him into his destiny. And then I want to talk about another situation. It's one probably we really don't speak about much, but it's found in Matthew chapter 10. And we're beginning at verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, and be as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you're going to be brought before governors and kings. And he tells them why. He said, you're going to be brought before them for my sake, because you're going to be a testimony to the people. For a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you're going to speak, for that it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but it's the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. And the brother shall deliver up brother. Now, this is you getting called as a disciple. This is the disciples. This is them getting their commission. This is them getting told, you're going to go forth. You're going to be witnesses. He said, but you're also going to have problems in your own house. Brother's going to deliver a brother to death. And father is going to put children to death. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. He said, and you've got, everybody's going to hate you for my name's sake. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man has come. That's your promise. That's the word of God. I'll come back to it in a moment. The disciples. What were the expectations of the disciples? We know the disciples, when Jesus was risen from the dead, they spent 40 days with him. And Jesus taught them everything from the scripture. So when you come into the early book of Acts, they know everything. So they ask Jesus, okay, when are you coming back now? They know everything about the scriptures. So they're not ignorant, so they ask them the question. So they've got expectations. Acts 2:30 tells us one of the expectations. Because the scripture there says that this, when David was speaking, he prophesied that God would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So they were looking for Jesus to sit in David's throne. So that was one of the great expectations. You get to Luke 1:32, the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. Too late. So he's going to reign over Israel, he's going to reign over Jacob. Matthew 25:31, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and that's in Jerusalem. Hence, we come to all the problems in Jerusalem today, which never disappear, because it's the city where the most wars are about. It's all got to do with when the Prince of Peace comes, he comes back to Jerusalem. And so there's always conflict over Jerusalem. And then also in Isaiah 11, the first 11 verses, the expectation is all of creation being changed, and that the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. These are the expectations of them. That's what they're looking for. They've got the word. What's the word? Before you've covered all the cities of Israel, the Son of Man shall come. He never came. He never came. So you've got these disciples. They've got all the great expectations. They're catching the moment. They're enthusiastic. They know the price they've got to pay. But yet, that word was not fulfilled in their day. We looked at the other week there at similar situations in Hosea, when the king has sought the Lord because of the oppression of the Syrians. The Bible says that God heard them and God was ready to heal the land. But it never happened. And so we have these situations where this is probably the more commonest situations that we find ourselves in. That we want to grasp the moment, but the circumstances we rose around us and make decisions that put that decision into the back burner because of some things you can't do. And so as we look at the scriptures, we know the scriptures, the disciples, Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus has ministered to his disciples for 40 days. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he gets up and he takes the book of Job. Now, when you go through the Gospels, remember Jesus always says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have the kingdom of heaven. And then another scripture talks about the kingdom of God. Whenever Jesus says you're going to have the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God together. But God is not heaven, and heaven is not God. And all through the Old Testament, the kingdom of heaven was always this physical kingdom. The scriptures, the expectations were just read of Jesus, the Messiah, is going to sit upon the throne of David. That was always their expectation. So when Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost, what does he do? He takes the book of Job. And he starts to preach from the book of Job. But what do you find in the book of Job? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is always mainly associated with the second advent of Jesus Christ. It can be applied to other different days in scripture, but mainly applied to the second advent. And he starts to speak about all the things that happened in the heavens and the earth. Which none of these things happened at that day. But he's preaching them. Because they've got the expectations, they've heard all the words of Jesus, they've got the promise to go through all of Israel, and when they've done that, the Son of Man will come. And of course, Jesus comes and ministers, and the disciples have that anointing to go and preach the gospel, to heal and minister. And remember, up to this time, all the scriptures that they have is the Old Testament. Nothing of the New Testament has been written. They have all the Old Testament in front of them. And we've got the resurrection of Jesus has come. And a great event took place after the resurrection of Jesus and then the early book of Acts. Because in Acts 3:17, we find when Peter's speaking, and now, brethren, I want that through ignorance, our rulers took the Messiah and they crucified him. And so in this part of scripture, what he's saying is, they've done it through ignorance, they can depend now. They can recognize what they've done. What have they done? You go back to the Psalms. They've committed the great transgression. What is the great transgression? The crucifixion of the Messiah. And so here we have Peter preaching in Acts, and he said, they've done it in ignorance. The opportunity for repentance, the opportunity to see all the fulfillment of all the words that Jesus has spoken, that the disciples' expectations, once the finished go through Israel, the Son of Man would come. And the thing is, it never happened. And up to this position, what do we have? We have Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel about the soon return of the Son of Man. When Jesus has been crucified on the cross, all the prophecies have been complete. There's not one prophecy outstanding. Nothing been left untouched. Everything is complete for his second return. Peter on the day of Pentecost, he's preaching about it. The religious rulers, they are given the opportunity to make rectification, to change and come to the cross for repentance and rectify the error of committing the great transgression. And that's the position the disciples were in. And because of the religious leaders going after the church, going after those preaching the gospel, going after those who preached the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, they went and started persecuting the church. And the disciples, who had all that great expectation and were now expecting to see the Son of Man coming, were put in this place where they were just catching, and the revelation and the expectation was removed from them. There's three signs that happened immediately, because we go on a couple of chapters and they took Stephen. The Bible says they stoned Stephen to death. And when they stoned Stephen to death, there's three things that occurred. The first one is, you will not find anywhere in the scriptures of any more miracles taking place in Jerusalem. There's no recorded miracles in the church in Jerusalem. But you've still got the apostles there. You've still got the apostles in Jerusalem, but there's no more miracles. The second thing that you'll notice is that it wasn't all that long in the time span of history before that church in Jerusalem was no longer there. AD 70, Titus came in with his army. Jerusalem is razed to the ground. Third observation, you have the calling out of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. That's immediately after Stephen is stoned. Saul of Tarsus is called out, who became the Apostle Paul, who became the Apostle to the Gentiles, and is one of the prolific writers of the New Testament. These were the consequences, but the expectations that they had, the disciples, they never saw the fruition of it. So they had to pick up the pieces, just like Joshua and Caleb had to pick up pieces. They had to pick up the pieces and start to say, well, where do we go from here? And the Bible tells us that these same disciples, because of the delay in the Son of Man not coming, God used these same disciples and scattered them, and they took the gospel to the nations. They might have had great disappointment in what they expected to see, but it never stopped God saying, I'll give you another purpose. Because the events were outside your control, but I'm going to anoint you and I'm going to give you a new commission. And sometimes we find that we get to this place where things have got to a place where I'm in this situation, but it's not my own making. But God comes and says, I'm going to give you a new commission. I'm going to give you a new anointing. I'm going to give you a new direction. And when the disciples took the message of the gospel, and they took the gospel to them, and what did they say? Those men turned the world upside down, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we're in this situation that when you go back to the Greeks and the Romans, you go to all the worship and all the idolatry in the temple with all everything took place. We are today in that place where governments and people want to bring all that lifestyle into society again. And God comes and God says, you might have been disappointed. You might have been ready to catch and go, and it's never worked out. But I'm coming with a new anointing, with a new purpose, because in today's environment, the word of God will go forth sharper than any two-edged sword. God is going to leave a witness. And you see, the problem is, you come back to the calling in Matthew 10. You might be before councils and kings, but anywhere you are, it will be as a witness to Jesus Christ. It will be a witness to Jesus Christ. So people, some people catch the moment and enter a destiny. Other people maybe get different opportunities to do that. And then we have these people like Joshua and Caleb, like the early church. They were put in a position where that which they were catching was snapped away from them. You see, God never leaves us hanging. He never leaves us hanging when these situations arrive. And so we're at that place where no matter what is happening and disappointments, but for circumstances out of your control, God comes and he said, now is the time. Now is the time for redirection. Now is the time because a fresh anointing is coming. Mm-hmm. A fresh calling is coming. Now is the time because God's purposes have never changed. He wants his name to be honored and glorified. Mm-hmm. And he wants people to stand before councils and kings and governors to witness for him. And so as we come today, I've got a feeling, just as I was singing last night, there can be, in the days ahead, for each one, a moment which will change your destiny. And when that comes, you have to grab it. But if you're not aware of it and let it go, you will never enter into your full destiny. These are the days which are not normal days. The days in which we live in are not normal days. They are wicked days. Mm-hmm. There is wickedness in the top realms of government, mm-hmm. all around the world. There's wickedness in societies with people pushing agendas. There's wickedness everywhere. But God has his purposes, and God never ever is out of control as far as things happening. He always has an answer. He's always in control of events. He knows the end from the beginning. But there is times when we can be faced with a moment that we've got to catch what God's saying for our destiny. Yeah. Like Elijah with Elisha, like the blind man Bartimaeus in Jericho, like Nicodemus coming to Jesus, they had to take an opportunity. We might be in that category. We might be in the category of the disciples or Joshua and Caleb, where new direction is going to be given to us by the Holy Ghost. But we are in these days where we want to catch the moment. Catch what God's wanting to do in our lives and through our lives, in our nations and through our nations. You've got to catch the moment. Because when you miss the moment, you miss the destiny. And God wants to bring us all into our full destiny. That's the great thing about the Lord. He wants us into our full destiny. He wants us to be moving in that area which he's called us for. And so today, let's be encouraged. If things are disappointed, that is a moment that we need to be aware of, that we want to catch. Because God's Spirit is moving. In the midst of what's happening, God is raising up and moving upon his people. And we've got to be sensitive, be aware, and be open for when God comes and for things to happen to know, this is a moment that I've got to go this way. This is a moment I've got to reach out and grab this. This is a moment that this new anointing is coming with for the new purpose. We have got to be aware. This is what's happened throughout Scripture. It's happened time and time and time again throughout Scripture. But let us be those who are aware how God works and be aware of these situations so that we will fulfill our destiny that God has for us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are the God who comes. And you give us these opportunities to come into a place that we've never dreamt of or thought of. For Elisha, Lord, became a great prophet. For the beggar at Jericho, he was a man who could walk with his eyes open and see. It means different things to different people. Joshua and Caleb, it delayed their inheritance. The disciples, and gave them a new purpose and a new direction. So, Father, as we come today, we just commit all of these things into your hand so that we might be aware of them But also, Father, we want to know the leading of the Holy Spirit, individually, collectively. We want to know the leading of your Spirit, so that in these days, Lord, of wickedness, these days of perversion, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up in the midst, and his name will be testified to every level of society. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Hallelujah.